guest on the program. Tracy, how did you spend your 4th of July?
Watching baseball games and waiting for you guys to call. I didn't realize we wouldn't have a show. I mean, the station was still on the air, right?
The station was still on, yes. Yeah. We had the Rockies game going, though, at that time.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah. Were you at a game, or were you watching on the television?
On the television. Got home from Seattle late the night before, so a few days at home, and then go back down to Denver this weekend. But no, it's kind of that MLB package. You can flip around pretty good and get to see quite a few games.
Now, was there any wild firework noise out at the Ringlesby household last night?
The neighbors kept it a little bit calmer this year than they have in the past. The horses didn't get too worked up. The mare just kind of stared at their place like she really wanted to get loose and go stomp them all to death. But she didn't break any fences down.
Fireworks are not good on pets or horses, either one.
Well, horses are pets, Dave.
Okay. Tracy, something we've been talking about, you know, NBA free agency has been going crazy, and free agency is such a big part of professional sports now. And what was it in the 70s when it all kind of got going? I know, who was it, Curt Flood or something like that for baseball, really was the first free agent, I think. Has it been good for the professional sports, in your opinion? Is it, I understand why it's in place, but is it a good thing?
I don't think it's hurt him. I mean, values of franchises are up, attendance is up, salaries are way up. They're not paying salaries if they can't afford them, so I don't think it's necessarily hurt the teams that much. People talk about it's much more transient, but I think if you look back at history, only the supreme players stayed for their entire careers in one place. It wasn't very common for guys to hang around and only play for one team. They just had very little say in where they went or when they went someplace. So, I mean, I think that the salaries are a little silly, but you know, the owners wouldn't pay them, I guess, if they didn't have the money to do it. And we've also found out that just because you go spend a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to be world champions either. I think the Dodgers proved that. And, you know, you have to consistently be looking for ways to get better. You can't sit back and, you know, if they ever write a sequel to Moneyball, it'll be called Bankrupt. Because
Tracy Ringles will be joining us here on the Sports Zone. We got a text message on the KFDC text line, Tracy, from Quinn, wanting to know, and he was asking us, but I'll go ahead and ask you, do you think Walt Weiss's job is in jeopardy or danger this season?
Not this season, I don't think. What they decide to do after the season, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think they're going to want to see more of how some of these young pitchers come along and develop. I think that they know that in the next 2 years, they have a chance for a pretty big window to come through for them, and you know they're going to have to figure out just exactly how they want to handle that. But you know, firing the manager is not always the answer. Sometimes, I mean, you got to make sure you do other things too, and you got to make sure you hire somebody better. You know, but I think this organization, in the last few years since they got rid of Bill Guyvett, has made giant strides in its player development area, particularly with young pitchers. And I think we're counting the other day. There's like 6 or 7 left at AA and AAA that are rated very highly. Now, they're prospects because they've never done anything, but they're prospects that the rest of baseball is recognizing. I mean, even Tyler Anderson, who I think anyone who follows this team at all would say has done a very stand-up quality job. You know, let's remember, he was about the 20th ranked prospect in the system when the season started because nobody was really sure how quickly he'd come back from missing a year. So, I mean, I do feel that legitimately their farm system is very close to being exceptionally productive. There's always been a pretty good string of players, but they've got the pitchers coming this time. And they still got position players. I mean, David Dahl got promoted up to AAA yesterday. And I think he went 3-for-4 with a home run in his first game for Albuquerque. But there's legitimate guys. There's I think they had in Baseball America's top 100, they had 5 or 6 guys in the top 100. So it's other people are taking notice. When Keith Law ranks them among the best farm systems in baseball, you know they're really good because of the hatred between them and Keith Law.
I've heard you go after him before. That's not the first time. I can remember we had Keith Law on the show. God, it was several years ago. He won't come on now, but several years ago.
Did I make him mad?
I don't know. I don't know if he made him mad, but we had him on several years ago. But I like how you put it there. When, you know, I heard Walt Weiss kind of allude to the fact that, you know, power pitchers, power arms coming up sooner rather than later. I may be paraphrasing a little bit there. Are we looking after the All-Star break when that happens?
I got a feeling something's happening quick because David Dahl got put on the Futures game yesterday to replace an injured player, but you're supposedly only allowed to have two players in the Futures game, so that would either mean Tapia, who's at Double-A, I can't see him being promoted to play the outfield for the Rockies, or Huffman would probably be coming off. And if Huffman would be coming off, it would probably be because he would have a chance to be promoted to start a game in the big leagues in the next few days. So, I mean, I think that could start it right there. But, you know, you've got him, and you've got Musgrave, who's another guy that was, I think, ranked down in their top 30 prospects, but he made the move from Double-A to Triple-A already this year. Sensatella is a kid that's coming. I mean, Freeland, the kid from Denver, who's pitched at altitude before, so it won't be a total shock to him. But I also think that the move to Albuquerque was huge because now the pitchers at Triple-A, they don't go through the intimidation of Colorado Springs. I mean, they're getting a better feel for really what it'll be like in Denver than they did at Colorado Springs. So I think some of that factor starts to disappear too, that they start to realize what they start to be able to make the adjustments for their release points and that with various pitches to understand what's going to happen at Coors Field. But you know, there's still things that have to happen too offensively.
Speaking of immediate help, Tracy, I understand Chatwood is with the team now in San Francisco, and I don't know if he's scheduled to start tonight or tomorrow, but I think he's scheduled to start fairly soon. Ottavino has pitched a couple of relief, closing assignments at Albuquerque. It looks like he's on the verge of being back to the big team if they think he's back to where he needs to be. So, looks like they may have some pitching help on the way pretty quick for some guys that have been on the DL for a while.
Well, and they also got McGee back this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a good arm. He's got some ability, too. He messed his knee up when he blew that last save. But, no, I mean, I think that, you know, you have those things. Yeah, Chatwood, I see here right now, scheduled. He gets the opportunity to pitch against Bumgarner tonight at AT&T Park. So, I mean, that's a step in there. And then I just think the Rockies, who do they have? Oh, Bettis will go on Thursday. So maybe Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Maybe that's going to look here and see who they have scheduled to pitch. It could be that opportunity for someone to step into the rotation at some point and just see if a Hoffman is ready to make that move.
Yesterday, Anderson, I thought, pitched really well. He gave up two home runs and four runs, but I thought, you know, that was a pretty good outing considering, you know, who he's pitching against and the park they're in. But the Rockies' offense has decided to take an extended nap, it seems, for the last four or five games. They're just not scoring any runs. They were at home, they were scoring them in bunches, and now they can't get a hit. I mean, and they're striking out in just clusters. I mean, it's unbelievable what the offense has done the last four games.
Well, and I think the thing that was really frustrating yesterday is that Peavy was not overpowering or particularly difficult at all. They just were missing pitches. They had pitches. They had opportunities to hit. They had pitches that they just didn't hit. And, you know, it took its toll a little bit. But, you know, Anderson, he's learning to pitch without a lot of support, even when he's been in Coors Field. But you look for different things at times with pitchers. And the thing I keep looking at with him is that he has continued to do what he's capable of doing. He hasn't let the frustration get to him. He made one really bad pitch yesterday. And it cost him big time, but I think you look at that and you know he can grow from that. I mean he hasn't tried to suddenly change himself. I mean he's 0-3, but he still has a 3.03 ERA. He's not trying to reinvent pitches. He's not trying to do things he's incapable of. And you know, when you see pitchers do things like that, you feel confident of their ability to control the speed of the game, which is important. And you know, I was in Seattle this weekend, and Kevin Gausman, the kid from Denver, who's with the Orioles, he gave up a single and a home run to open the seventh inning or sixth inning, and I think what you saw with him that really is encouraging is 9 pitches later, 8 of them strikes, and he had retired the next 3 batters. In other words, just because he went down by 2 runs, he didn't suddenly go into a panic mode and start to overthrow. And I think that same thing is what we're seeing with Anderson. He walked 1 guy yesterday in 6 innings. He gave up 3 runs. 2 of them were on home runs, and really the one that killed him was the Pagan home run. It was just a bad pitch, and Pagan did with it what you're supposed to do with it, unfortunately for him, because a lot of times guys don't accomplish what they're supposed to on those hanging pitches.
Tracy, always good to catch up with you. Rockies tonight, they are at San Francisco, 7:30 pregame, 8:15, first pitch right here on KFBC. Tracy, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Look forward to it.